Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Check 1, 2. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We're back. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the premiere was incredible.
It was indeed.
But incredible.
Yes, but before we do that, we have something we need to say.
What's that?
What's today?
Today is, oh, that's right. Happy birthday, Malini.
Yes.
It is Malini's birthday today.
Yes, it is.
And we want to wish her and the rest of listeners
happy
birthday.
Yes.
And in a few days, it's going to be someone else's birthday.
Yeah, I think so.
Who might that be?
I don't know.
Oh, well. We'll have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the premiere, after long waiting and hoping and avoiding spoilers that we could not avoid.
Yep.
Now we have seen the premiere, and just off the top of your head, what do you think?
Wow, I don't even know. It was awesome. I thought it was great. There were so many great points in that. Wow, just wow. It is different, and it's going to be a little different, and we're going to have to, like you said, kind of stretch our imagination and, you know, be okay with some stuff that maybe we weren't really anticipating or thinking about.
Well, Jane,
but there were some many highs and lows in that, in that, you know, sad points, happy points, funny points. It was great.
There was an interview that Jane Espenson said is that the season two picks up, and the way she said it was kind of like it was halfway between a turn around, and it caught it in the middle. And I see where she's coming from.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a direct reversal of what was done before. It was in the middle, a lot of, like I said, hybrid stuff, kind of in between things, or mixed up and mixed around. So
yeah, it didn't take a U-turn. It took a left or a right turn. Something. It did something different, but it did, and it answered some questions, and then it actually has raised a boatload more.
Yes. So we open in what looks like a large city. Possibly New York. I'm not sure. More than likely,
New York,
it was
Boston.
Vancouver.
Well, Boston, filming location, obviously, but where did they intend it to represent? Mm-hmm. I believe it was representing either like Boston or New York. That's what it felt like to me.
Okay. So I heard a Lou Reed song playing.
Okay.
I don't know which one, but I don't think it was Velvet Underground because it wasn't that loud. And anyway, I'm going with Lou Reed.
Okay.
So what was interesting is this person went up to this flat room in this apartment building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it started to rain. He opened the window, dropped out a phone, and then a dove delivered a postcard message from Storybrooke.
Yep.
And with the word broken.
Yep.
Which was the title of the episode.
Right, right.
So then we saw a scene that was filmed in Osoyoos, Canada.
Yep.
British, in the province of
British Columbia.
British Columbia.
Yes.
And
province.
What looks like, it looked like Agrabah.
It looked a little like Agrabah, but yes. It had a very similar Middle Eastern feel to it.
Very
interesting, exotic look to it, yeah.
As things played out, it was the kingdom where Aurora and Philip were going to live.
That is correct.
So we see Prince Philip cut briars, go in, kiss Aurora, and we see that prismy hope that shot out.
Right, when, true love.
Right, when that curse was broken.
Right.
So what's interesting is there are large curses that control large areas, and then there are smaller curses as well.
Right.
So...
Well, and what was interesting, too, about that is that, you know, when she talked about, you know, Aurora, because, you know, at first I thought, are they going to hybrid her with, like, Jasmine and make her be a blend of Jasmine and Aurora and have it be Aladdin kind of a thing? But it was, no, it was Prince Philip and Aurora. And then she made the comment that Maleficent went after her mother and now her, and they had to stop her. Mm-hmm. But according to what they were saying, you know, then, you know, by that time it was, you know... You don't have to worry about her anymore. Maleficent's not going to hurt anybody anymore. And so when they said that, I was kind of thinking, okay, well, why is that?
Right.
It started me thinking, right. Well, why? Why isn't she going to hurt anybody anymore? Is it post-curse?
Well,
so I kind of had a sneaking suspicion it was.
Later on, we did know that...
That is correct.
She had heard about Regina and the curse, so...
Well, yeah, Mulan told her that Regina cast a curse, and for some reason, their little corner of the realm didn't get impacted. So something blocked it. That'll be interesting to find out what exactly happens with that. Because I will say at first when I was watching this, I was going, why are we watching Prince Philip and Aurora in that? What's that all about? And it made more sense, and obviously at the end, that's where it made a ton of sense.
The reunion was good.
Oh my gosh.
Back in Storybrooke.
The reunion was tear-inducing. I cried when I saw the seven dwarves. Oh my gosh. Yep. I did. I totally just lost
it. When they really bowed to Snow White.
Yeah.
And then you see the power kind of begin to build because of the respect that they had for her.
Yep.
And you notice that people started to come to her.
Yes.
You know, Archie ran over.
Oh, yeah.
And said, you know, you need to come with me.
Right.
You know, Whale is starting to get this Frankensteinish mob together.
Yeah, yeah, it was very much a kill the beast, Beauty and the Beast kind of a thing, too.
Right, right.
Because that was another mob scene.
So.
And the torches and stuff, but that comes later.
But I think one of the cutest moments, and probably the one that people are going to blog and Tumblr about for a while, is the when Henry said, Grandpa? That was great.
That was really cute. That was really cute and funny. That did make me laugh.
The one thing I did notice is when we had that three-way hug with Snow,
Emma.
James, and Emma, was Emma look like, to me, a classic teenager in an emotional situation.
Yeah.
Where she was kind of bugged.
She was very uncomfortable.
But then as the episode rolled on, she was bothered because her parents, and again, this is a classic parent-child situation.
Right.
Is the parents sent her to be the savior and do the noble thing, but she felt cursed.
Because
being
she was
sent
alone.
And tasked with breaking the curse.
Well, but also she felt alone. She felt it was worse for her to be alone her whole life than to be without her parents.
Right. Because that's what she said. But well, you would have been cursed. She said, but I would have been with you.
Right.
But then they would have still been.
They would have been cursed.
Forever.
Forever.
So, yeah. The big question with the reunion and everybody talking is, why are we still here?
Mm-hmm.
And, and then they posed that question to Regina.
Right.
And she said, well, this is really all there is. The other place that you're talking about
anymore.
Is gone.
It's gone.
And according to what we've seen, there is no Oz. There is thus far. There is no Oz. There is no Wonderland. There is no. There's only one spot, which is this Agrabah place,
right?
According to what we've seen right now. So.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. We don't know. I mean, maybe each land has a corner that is, you know, sequestered away from where, you know, the curse didn't reach out that far. You know what I mean?
Right. And, you know, the question is why, and maybe the why is that when Regina had a boat ready for the genie to go, maybe she figured that in with the curse and say, you know what, if you're going, I'm giving you safe passage, I'll leave that untouched, but everywhere else is going to be cursed or destroyed.
Right, so. Right. But remember, Regina didn't make the curse, Rumpel did. So maybe there's a reason he did. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't... I do like the fact that, you know, I want to give Regina the credit for, you know, thinking ahead and being kind to
the genie. If that is, in fact, Agrabah, I don't know for sure.
Well, that's the thing.
Yet.
We don't know either. I mean, it just... It had a very, like I said, a very Moroccan, Middle Eastern feel to it. And so it could have been, you know... Could have been anywhere.
Because it did not strike me as the Sleeping Beauty castle-esque area.
It's
but again,
so
they
not.
Twist these stories around and the places around, so
well,
it could have been.
And again, they weren't in their normal realm, right?
Right.
They had to escape somehow from their normal realm, which probably was fairytale land.
Some of the coolest moments is I kind of knew we're coming. It was what I hoped about. Now you're yawning.
Sorry.
Everybody listening's yawning now. So is the Belle and Rumpelstiltskin moments. Or they still call them gold. So
yeah.
But those were really great moments because she had the opportunity to really try to change him.
Yep.
As a good girlfriend and or wife will try and do, especially when he's a rascal like him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the question of, you know, you're talking about, you know, kill the beast, kill the witch, kill. We have the opportunity now. We have the power. She doesn't have the power. In a mob, in a mass, we're going to go do this. Or on the other hand, magic is back, so that means Rumpelstiltskin has magic, and it seems like Regina doesn't have magic. This discussion of, well, we want to kill her. You know, then Henry tells Emma, I want you to protect her. She is my mom.
Right.
And then on the other hand, Belle's telling Gold, don't do that. Don't kill her.
Right.
You know, choose good instead of evil, you know, and then that's what Snow's telling, you know, everyone's like, no, that's not right, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting.
She needs to be locked away.
Right.
We don't need to kill her. Let's just lock her away so we can protect ourselves and her. And she protected her first. She mentioned that first. Mm-hmm. She said to protect her and then to protect us.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the other thing with Belle was that, she just wanted them to be together. And she goes, don't let your hate take over.
Right.
So I thought that was very interesting.
Well, for sure, it was a very, I got to go there. You know, it's very Obi-Wan, you know, given Luke right before he flew off. Don't give in to hate. You know, it's one of those final, important, sage bits of advice, you know.
Right.
And so that's what she was telling him, too.
Right.
So... it was nice to see Mother Superior.
Uh-huh.
You know, a little bit.
Blue Fairy, yeah.
And, you know, so Henry, of course, went to the, well, why don't you do something cool?
You're the Blue Fairy. Do some magic. But she's like, I don't have any dust. I don't have any wand.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because she's supposedly the most powerful being in the universe, right?
Right.
But obviously she's not. It's the magic that's powerful. And then that kind of leads us into the whole, well, Regina didn't seem to have magic because when they came to her house and she's like, here she is, and nothing happened. And then when she tried to make the hat work, and what made it work was Emma touching her arm.
Right.
Methinks Emma's now got the magic.
This is what I am putting forward here, is I think... Between the two, only one can have magic. Okay? I'm just throwing this out here. When the two are in the same realm, only one can have magic. Because initially it seemed like Regina had no magical power.
Right.
But once Emma left, and I know we're skipping around, and sorry.
Right, we are.
But once Emma left through the hat toward the end of the episode, Regina did have her magical power back.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's kind of what it seemed like.
It's almost like a shared thing.
Well, or it's kind of a toggle. One or the other. You can't have both.
Okay, so let's go with that theory. If that's the case, I wonder why. There has to be some connection then. Do you see what I'm saying? There's right. got to be some sort of connection between them that makes that the case.
Yeah.
That's just my thinking. And I'm thinking in terms of, like, you know, I don't know if maybe there's some sort of relationship from a familial standpoint, meaning Regina and Snow actually are somehow related, or Emma is, or James and Regina are somehow related. Well, or could it just been the transfer, or could it just been because Emma is the savior and because she broke the curse and because she believes more.
I think there are some powerful beings, and since Emma was outside of the curse, I think that makes her, you know, eligible.
Well, and that's the other thing too.
Some type of power, but also Regina does have power as well. Mm-hmm. I think Gold also has power as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But we see that, you know, the Blue Fairy or Mother Superior does not. So,
well, right now,
that's one of those. We'll put those on the question table.
Right. Okay? Right. Will she get power? Will the dwarves find a way to mine for fairy dust? I mean, is that even a feasibility? Can they go get some? Can they find, you know, are Emma and Mary Margaret going to find wands? You know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's going to be real interesting. So, I also loved going kind of skipping backwards a little bit too, when James said to Dr. Well, "Who are you?" After he says, "You're not my prince." So who is his prince then?
Mm-hmm.
Where is he from?
Right.
Is he potentially the Wizard of Oz?
Well, there are many things flying around.
The Scarecrow, the Tin Man. Well,
possibly.
Cowardly Lion.
Possibly.
I'm just saying only because when he says, "You're not my prince."
Right.
Whose prince?
True.
Who is his prince then? Because he's got to have one somewhere, right? You'd think so. If he's from fairy tale world, which he is, who is his prince then if it's not James?
Yep.
Okay, so, and then when he said, "Who are you?" and the fact that James didn't know who he was, leads me to think he's from some other world. So, what other world is he from?
Well, yeah, we'll see.
You follow?
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So, let's kind of put this together. I was watching the promo, and I didn't catch it at first, but I saw Gold holding a medallion of some kind.
It was the medallion.
And it looked like some type of a Chinese or Oriental symbol of some kind.
Right, right.
And so, of course, the first thing I thought about was Mulan.
Right, me too.
And then it turns out that is a talisman that marks someone to be, have their soul sucked out by a wraith.
Yes.
So, there initially was a wraith that popped out of the ground at where Prince Philip kissed and broke the curse of Aurora, Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wraith flew out of the ground, punched through and flew out of the ground. And so the wraith turns out can only fly at night.
Yep.
He's afraid of the light.
Right.
So obviously, it's a lot of kind of evil.
Sure.
Yeah. But also, it's very Lord of the Rings and
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Death Eaters from Harry Potter and whatever they were in Lord of the Rings. I'm not familiar with Lord of the Rings like you are, I'm sure. Now, what I was going to say is anything that's going to suck your soul is going to be evil.
Right. But I mean, no. You only fly at night, afraid of the light. You know what I mean? It's kind of a classic.
Right.
It has to be evil.
So. And here's a totally random thought, but it was just something I kept saying. The minute I saw Philip get off the horse and walk in, and I saw the other person fall behind, I knew it was Mulan. Mm-hmm. I could totally tell.
Right.
I'm just throwing that out there.
So.
But I liked the real reveal. I thought it was really good. And what was interesting, oh, here's something for you. So the reveal. Remember what she said? Aurora said, "You're a girl."
Right.
And she said, "I'm a woman." Mm-hmm. Does that sound familiar?
Right. It's
it
like
should.
Snow White.
Exactly. When Snow and James first met. Mm-hmm. He's all, "You're a girl." And she's like, "No, I'm a woman." And she proved to be quite the little badass. So Mulan, hopefully we'll see more of that as it goes.
There was a little exchange, and I think only some people are going to kind of get this, but I'll go ahead and say it, is that somebody said, you know, you can't just kill somebody, you know, and somebody goes, well, we're not of this world. And then somebody else said, now we are.
Oh. Hmm.
So it was just.
That was an interesting exchange.
So for, you know, however many percent of people, I'm just kind of throwing it out. I thought it was kind of interesting, and I caught that. So.
I caught part of that. I didn't catch the last part, but yeah.
Yep. So then Mr. Gold marked Regina with this talisman for this Wraith to
come and get her,
suck her soul out.
And Belle was not happy about that.
Yeah, right.
Because once again, that's the problem with Gold. You extract promises from him, he'll twist the words. And he was right. He was good to his promise. He didn't kill her.
Right.
But he also knew that if he said he wouldn't kill her, doesn't mean he can't get something else to do it for him.
Right.
What better way to do it? And what's interesting, you know what amazes me is, so why didn't he unleash the Wraith on her before?
Because
what did he need her for? He didn't really need her for much of anything, right?
No, actually he did. He needed her to talk Regina into getting that thing.
No. I mean, Regina. Right. Why didn't he unleash the Wraith on Regina before? Uh-huh. He could have marked Regina before.
Yeah.
He's had multiple opportunities to do that. Why didn't he do that?
He wasn't given it till season two.
No.
There's a box that said don't open until season two.
It was in there.
I don't know.
No, but you know what? I'm just saying, I'm raising the question of, okay, so why did he hold back? So maybe there is a clause in the curse, even though he built it, he did it so that it would be everything. See, it's all about timing with him.
Okay. I don't think he knew until he was sure that it was Regina that did that to Belle. I think that's when it came into play.
Obviously.
I think he had it in his play box.
Right.
But
well, that's anyway. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I know he wasn't sure, and he didn't know Belle was even alive. But what I'm saying is he had plenty of other reason to get rid of Regina.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of interesting that he chose that moment to do it. It was kind of an interesting way for them to kind of play around with that.
So they call this thing the Mark, which again is a term that's kind of talked about in certain circles. In this case, also in the Old Testament, it talks about the angel of death avoiding, you know, certain doorposts with the blood on it.
Right.
And this is the opposite. It's just if someone is marked, then that's where the Wraith goes to.
Right.
So, the talisman is burnt into the palm. Like the Nazi guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah,
so
I thought that was interesting too.
But then the question is, how did Philip get marked?
He picked it up.
Okay,
he picked it up.
But why? And
because
I guess he didn't know.
Because it fell off the Wraith.
Okay.
It fell off the Wraith when he swung a sword at it, right? And it fell on the ground. And being Curious George, he picked it up. And didn't know that it had marked him until after the fact. He was the one holding on to it.
So that was another thing, and it answered one of the questions that I never vocalized till just right now, is that once the curse is broken, then that connection between the knife and Gold was broken too. Because remember, he changed when he...
Yeah.
So it was like one and the same. But yeah. Now he's not one and the same but with the dark one.
No, he is, though, because he said he raised the knife over his head, still had his name on it, and said, the dark one summons you. And that's how he got the wraith to come out of the talisman.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Mulan and Philip fought many battles together.
Yes.
And then at a certain point, I think we both looked at each other and we started saying, love triangle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely. Because there was just kind of the way she was talking about him, the way she was concerned with him. I mean, she said at the end, you know, she said when Aurora confronted her that, no, it's not that. He saved my life. That's all it is. And maybe that's really truly all it really is. But I'm kind of inclined to agree with Aurora. And she's like, no, I know love when I see it. And you love him. And maybe she does, but for a different reason. I don't know. Maybe it really truly is that he truly saved her, and that's what it is. She's not in love with him. She doesn't have romantic feelings for him. She doesn't have a true love passion for him, like, you know, because clearly he doesn't want her anyway. He's in love with Aurora.
Well, I think the thing about Mulan, and that's what's great about the story, is it's honorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very honorable story.
Right.
And I think what she does for honor.
Sure.
And anybody who will fight next to her, that's an honorable thing. So so Mr. Gold unleashes a wraith to follow Regina.
To get her, yeah.
And causes all kind of havoc in the Storybrooke Street.
Oh, yeah.
And it was interesting. Snow was talking about the one-night stand with Whale. Mr. Whale and
Dr. Whale.
It was, yeah.
That was actually pretty funny.
It was almost like Vegas or something. No. That was during the curse. You know.
Yeah. Well, like, I think so he's like, wait.
During the curse,
you had a one night stand.
Yeah.
Whale.
Right.
A whale. We were cursed. Move out. Right, get over it. You know. And it was like, oh my god, that was pretty funny. That's one of the things that made me laugh.
And Snow had, you know, one of those motherly moments with Emma.
Yep.
You know, that all mothers do, that we need to talk. We don't talk anymore. We need to talk. No, I need talk.
Do you know what felt like to me, though? Really? This is the impression that I got, was the delicacy of how she was handling her, even though she was chomping in the bit, was very much like, and this is going to sound crazy, but it just kind of reminds me of how I've seen in movies and stuff. You know, when a child is kidnapped, and then they're recovered years and years and years later. And, you know, the parents are like, because they don't know them, because the kids don't remember the parents very well because they were kidnapped when they were little tiny. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's that whole walking on eggshells kind of a thing. It just, she was trying to, you know, I sensed it anyway, that Mary Margaret wanted to just, like, push her and say, what happened? Tell me everything. Start with this. What happened? Right. Where were you? You know, how did this happen? You know, she wanted to know everything right then and there. But then she also realized that she had to kind of back off a little bit so that Emma wouldn't freak out too badly.
Well, yeah, I think it's a teenage thing, too.
That too.
Emma kind of, it was coming off to me like a teenager.
Well,
so it's like, I'm mad at you.
Okay, so you know, think about this. She's just found out her parents are fairy tale characters that the entire world knows about. Right?
Right.
Her parents are fairy tale characters who actually really are truly alive, and they sent her away so she could rescue everyone else. Instead of just staying with them and being with them, they sent her away so she could be the hero. And she's like, I didn't want that. That wasn't what I wanted you guys. I didn't want to be this, you know, heroine, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why she's kind of like, I think her head is just spinning because she's, you know, she's dealing with it's a lot to take in.
I know. Mm-hmm.
And then magic, when you live in a real world where there's definitely no magic, and you all of a sudden start seeing things that are very magical, you kind of tend to freak a little bit, I think.
Right. So then I wrote a couple of things I thought were funny. Wraith fight at the OK Corral. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, Snow is doing the old, you know, pouring out the liquor like Karen Allen did in Raiders of the Lost Ark,
yep.
and lighting things on fire.
Yep.
And
yep.
And then Regina has Jefferson's hat. That's probably the only thing that Mr. Gold doesn't have. And so she's trying to get it to work. And we already talked about Emma
right.
grabbing her arm.
And then,
it did work.
And then it did work, yeah.
And then Snow used what I call a snow torch. That's another thing I wrote down. Which the spraying something, probably, you know, old-style hairspray maybe.
Sure.
And a lighter.
Sure.
And trying to burn the wraith.
Scaring it away, at least, if nothing else.
Funny.
Yeah.
Then they were doing this trap to banish the wraith to a land that doesn't exist. And I think Regina, it didn't seem like that made sense to her, but it was the only thing she knew to do. Like, well, I don't want to get my soul sucked out, so since there's nothing left in Jefferson's hat, we'll send him through the hat to I don't know where.
To nothing.
Right.
Well, so in that case, then does that not stand to reason then that if that's the case, then Regina didn't know that Agrabah, that corner of Agrabah or whatever what we're calling Agrabah, she wouldn't have known that that was going to be untouched?
Well, I
she wouldn't know.
Well, maybe. Okay. All right.
I'm just throwing it out there.
So another thing is Mulan talked about love is sacrifice. And Mulan went out to go find this wraith and rescue Philip.
Right.
And, Jefferson's hat trap. I was writing some pretty good ones tonight. Yeah.
Well, and by the way, let me run back here. The guy in the apartment, who I thought was Philip, but I guess maybe it's not. I don't know. It looked kind of like him to me, but maybe it's not. I don't know who he is. Mystery
I
dude.
I don't think it was. I think it was the mystery guy.
Okay,
but anyway,
mystery
just
dude.
My...
So mystery dude, when he goes in the apartment, up on the wall, right behind the door or right next to the door, he had some stuff on his wall. And the one thing that just screamed at me the minute I saw it was cleaner and hatters.
Right, right. Yep.
So we know who the hatter is. Who's the cleaner?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting.
So then when the hat had magic from Emma
yes.
and Regina both,
mm-hmm.
then the wraith flew over to it and went inside.
Yep.
And then the wraith pulled the old alien trick, grabbing Emma's leg
right.
and pulling her in.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, everybody starts freaking out. And then Snow says, I'm not losing her again. Yeah. So then she jumps in.
Go, Mom. That's a mom. That's a yeah. mom for you.
So then...
And James is like, hell no, I'm not leaving either. And so then the fact...
Yeah.
That was just so heartbreaking to see, you know, when he jumped over the railing and dove onto the hat and it smashed it. Because guess what that means? The hat doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And never will again. From what I can tell. So how are they going to get there? That's going to be really interesting to figure out.
So, you know, I loved a lot of things in this episode, but I think the one was the interchange between Belle and Gold.
Definitely. And oh, you're not talking about the kiss, because I am. That was
okay.
a great kiss between the
yeah.
two of them. That was
yeah.
awesome.
So she called him a couple of times. She goes, you know, you just trust words, and you had mentioned
mm-hmm,
it before.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, you know, she said, you still have this chip cup. And
mm-hmm.
he said, you know, of all the things I have, this is the one I cherish, but you're going to have to go because I'm still a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, well, the reason I have to stay is because of that.
Right.
So, you know... this isn't Dr. Phil, and we're going to talk about relationships here. But
no, but
you know it is.
Yeah,
it
the very reason you think I need to leave is the very reason I actually need to stay.
Yep. So then, in the end, now let's kind of tie this together. We'll make one final thing, and I think that'll be it. But I wondered, because we only saw one Wraith.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw him in two different places. And I said, I wonder if that's the same Wraith that was in Storybrooke that flew out into this untouched area in Fairy Tale.
I think so.
And yeah, that's what I think. I think when it flew
out the first time
into the hat, it went out there. And then it sucked the soul out of Philip, and then it was done.
Right. And then it went back in the talisman.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. Gold let it out of the talisman.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, the Wraith was out trying to get Regina. Right.
What?
And then when they finally put it back in the hat, when it went down into the hat and it pulled Emma and then Mary Margaret jumped afterwards, that's when it came up through the floor in that courtyard area. Mm-hmm. And that's when it took off. So, and the reason we didn't see it when it first happened, we didn't see Mary Margaret Mary Margaret and Emma is because the debris was on it.
Right. Right.
So,
is there buzzing or what's happening?
No, nothing. Just keep going.
Okay. All right. So anyway, that's that. And so the end is the two people that flew through are now kind of blamed for something. And we've seen this in movies and movies.
Oh, yeah.
People ending up in a magical spot.
Unfortunately, it is true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah. So
that's the sad part, is it's actually true. They did bring the Wraith, but they didn't do it intentionally, and they didn't do it to kill Philip. So now it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to talk their way out of that one.
So yeah, the only thing I can say is, of all the, if you think you've had it all figured out,
oh no, not even close.
It's a new game now.
Oh yeah, this whole thing with a different realm that was not touched by the curse. Somebody who is, and here's my little. I almost hesitate to say this, but the mystery dude in New York or Boston or wherever that got the postcard. Part of me thinks it could be Balefire.
Well. Possibly. Like I said, you know, you get that big thing, you spin around, da, 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 da. Okay, it's this.
And so. I'm just throwing it out there right now. I may change my mind later just because based on the fact that the curse is broken, I know. But I'm just telling you, the fact is that he's a mystery person, and maybe he's not. Maybe he's totally not at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if he is, if he turns out to be Balefire.
Well, people say it's Henry's father, you know, whatever.
Well, and that's a possibility, too. But again, why would he know about Storybrooke and the curse?
Yeah.
Okay. So, saying.
That's it. And now it's your turn. So, first thoughts is our first crack at it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't rewind. We don't study anything. We just kind of go with what we've seen here.
First impressions.
And so, now it's your turn. Think about it. What did you see? What did you get out of it? You know, if we made some mistakes, go ahead and point it out. Let's figure it out. Let's get some screenshots. I did a blog post about how you can get screenshots from when they show the episode on Hulu or ABC.com.
Mm-hmm.
I welcome that. You know, maybe you saw something I didn't. Go ahead and call in the voicemail line. We've given you the number. Also, we have our email. So for the time being, we are going to do our normal Thursday show where we play the voicemails, and then we're going to do our live show on Saturday night. So we'll see how it goes. But now it's your turn to chime in, let us know, and we appreciate it. So that's it. Season 2.
I know.
Off with a bang.
Yay. Can't
wait
for next week.
Here we go.
Can't wait for next week.
So thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.